Joining us now on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline is her friend Romy Beam, of course, from CBS Denver. You can follow her on Twitter at Romy_Beam. And Romy, thanks for joining us. You may have heard a little bit of what we were talking about just a couple minutes ago, but more than anything, this loss to the Raiders really felt like the end of an era, even if it's not official until the end of the year, didn't it?
You know, I what you guys were saying kind of hit the nail on the head. It did feel like the finale. That they may not clean house before the end of the year, and I think
that
what you guys were saying about ownership. You can't hire a whole new coaching staff, get a whole bunch of new contracts, and then the new owner says, "Oh, I don't like any of this." But it just certainly feels like the beginning of the end. And I mean, why not, right? What has shown you that it should be any other way than that?
You got the feeling yesterday, and of course, CBS had a reporter on the sideline who was indicating late in the game, and this wasn't surprising, it wasn't an earth-shattering revelation, that there were some players who were a little upset on the sideline, and there was even a report from CBS's sideline reporter that Justin Simmons was, quote-unquote, having words with some coaches, which did not sound like an especially polite conversation. In this kind of situation, you've got a short week. You don't really have any practice sessions. You do a couple of walkthroughs, then you travel on Wednesday and play the game Thursday night. And I know the Browns are banged up, but of all the teams to be in this kind of situation with a short week and travel, I think, don't you, that the Broncos are especially vulnerable? It's not like they have a bye week next week. They've got to play on Thursday night in Cleveland.
You know, it feels like there are cracks, and it feels like, it feels like this could all devolve very quickly. And I think the first big signal, guys, was last week when there was that quote-unquote dust-up at practice among the defense. It's never good when you hear that it's defense on defense. This is not defense on offense.
Right.
That was kind of the first signal. And then, you know, I spoke to a few people, and kind of the one thing I heard, guys, was that Vic Fangio didn't really do anything about it.
Yeah.
And that is
We've heard that before.
We saw it with the Garrett Bowles, Bradley Chubb
altercation
or dust up, if you will. And when you don't do anything as a coach, this stuff festers. Then you start losing and it falls apart quickly. And so for me, that was a big smoke signal. Uh-oh, this is not good. Now they've lost another game. Now they're going into Cleveland. I mean, this feels like the slope is very, very slippery. And the coaches, in so many ways, are not coaching properly, not getting involved where they need to get involved.
Yes.
You know, whether it be a dust up, whether it be preparation, these guys are not being coached properly on any level, it feels like.
It does feel like things are completely breaking down in ways you hadn't before. You have guys like Kareem Jackson and Justin Simmons and Ronald Darby and Kyle Fuller, Bryce Callahan. These are experienced guys in the backfield. None of them are young players, and a lot of them have had very, very good success in this league. But it's now 3 weeks in a row where you've watched teams simply run a go route down the middle and just gash them game after game. So something is obviously happening very wrong. I can't believe for a minute that all five of those guys simply forgot how to play football in the last 3 weeks. So, yeah, when you see these sort of things happen, it appears that there may be a couple things. One, they're not being coached to recognize the right things, or they're being asked to do the wrong things, or you may reach a point, and we've seen this happen on teams before, where the players simply may be starting to tune out the coaching staff, right?
You know, That is kind of a big concern. Because going back to that dust up, going back to what we've seen with this secondary, the highest paid secondary, I know that's been said ad nauseum. Guys like Justin Simmons and Kareem Jackson have been together for like 3 years now. You know, how are they all of a sudden having these miscommunications, and then these other guys they bring in that have been in Vic Fangio's system? You know, it doesn't really make any sense. And you start to wonder, does this coaching staff muster any confidence in these guys, you know? And it begs that question, because, and I kind of, you know, I kind of asked Justin this after the game, but he, you know, Justin's so great. He, you know, doesn't point the finger at anybody, but I kind of asked, is there any sort of a preparation that maybe you guys could have been prepared differently. And, you know, he put it on himself. But it feels like this is coming down to preparation. Sandy, I heard you mention it before I came on, but once again, the Broncos were not prepared to play.
Yeah.
Whatever they're coaching them in practice, they're not preparing them to come out and play ball. And when the most disappointing, I think, has been on defense, because this is where they were going to hang their hat this year. This secondary has no excuse for getting burned. I mean, it's 7 plays that they gave up of 25 yards or more.
It's amazing. And 5 of 30 yards or more. Yeah,
and
it is.
2 of them almost back-to-back. I mean, on the same drive.
And, you know, Jeff Legwell's a friend of ours. I know you work with him on a continuing basis. And when he starts to suggest that, you know, the picture of the Broncos right now is not a pretty one and the coaches aren't doing much to reverse it, you do sit up and take notice. Fangio has not gotten a lot of criticism, and this is what Jeff wrote in a lead paragraph after the game yesterday, that Fangio has escaped criticism that normally would come down hard in a football town like this, at least an NFL Bronco town like this, very hard on a coach who had 15 wins in 38 games. But he says he's escaped that so far, but maybe the escape hatch just got shut a little bit, because I'm hearing now fans looking at the big picture and looking at the dysfunction that is part of this ownerless operation and has been now for going on 8 years.
And I think the biggest thing is, and you just said it, that this team has no owner. I mean, who's responsible, right?
Exactly.
There's nobody from the top saying this is unacceptable. And I mean, how many times have we said, oh, if Pat Bowlen were alive, you know, but how has it gotten to this point that this team not only needs to be sold, but desperately needs to be sold 3 years ago, 5 years ago at this point? And one thing that I think when we talk about that leadership and you look at Vic Fangio, he's not coaching his coaches. That's a job of a head coach, right? He's just letting Pat Shurmur go willy-nilly on offense, letting him run the whole thing. I think Vance Joseph had the same problem. He didn't know how to coach his coaches. Now, I understand as a coordinator.
Well, he never had to do it
really
before.
Your job.
No.
You never had to do it.
This is 2 straight first-time head coaches the Broncos hired in the wake of Gary Kubiak and John Fox, who coached for years in other places, both as coordinators and as head coaches.
But I also think, and that's right, but I know that people have talk to Vic Fangio about, hey, you got to coach your coaches. I understand that's something that maybe you just don't know how to do as a first-time head coach, but I chalk that back up to when we go back to that dust-up and we hear that Vic Fangio doesn't really do anything. Then you have to put the foot down on your coaches when you don't like what they're doing, and I get the sense that he's not doing that in so many ways. He's still a defensive coordinator. Guys, go back to training camp with me. There was a red zone drill, and I think about this a lot. It ended, Drew Lock threw an interception.
Right.
Then Teddy came up, Teddy threw an interception.
Yep.
Vic called practice. No, he's happy because his defense won. No, hey. That's not how it works as a head coach. You got to instill confidence in your offense. You know, that was a big red flag back then, you know, thinking about even then. That's coaching as a defensive coordinator. That's not coaching as a head coach and doing what's best for the team because you're happy because your defense won.
Romy, that is a really great point, and I'm glad you brought that up. And so now we run into a challenge here. We talked about it. This is kind of the beginning of the end, and we know things will change at the end of the year. But for the Broncos as an organization, to avoid kind of a free fall that has a hangover potentially, even over a new ownership, let's say the Broncos go out here and lose again on Thursday, and they lose badly. With a week and a half, at least an opportunity, besides the bye week, which is still more than a month away, to make any sort of change, do you believe it might be time to go ahead and make some sort of change in the coaching staff, if for no other reason than to show fans and players that this kind of performance will not be accepted on the Denver Broncos. And if you don't do better, we'll find someone else who may.
I absolutely think so. I don't really honestly see them really getting rid of Vic, you know, or parting ways until the end of the year. I just don't. I think the complications with the ownership, the complication of who do you bring it in as the interim. But I think changing a coordinator position, I think how about a Mike Munchak come into play up calls? I mean, you have guys there.
Right.
You've got Shula to come up and play calls.
I'd go for the latter, honestly, because I think Mike Munchak has his hands full with an offensive line that hasn't performed well. But Mike Shula's been a coordinator and a play caller before. He was a coordinator under Pat Shurmur. Obviously, he didn't call the plays, but in Carolina, he called the plays because Ron Rivera was the head coach. Mike Shula called the plays. What's wrong with doing that? You're not officially demoting anybody. You know, the guy in Chicago, not that it will help him all that much. He's on the hot seat, too. Matt Nagy has his offensive coordinator calling plays. Now, when he was doing it before, why not have Shula do it? I don't know how much play calling experience Mike Munchak has really had. I think if you were going to do anything with a head coach, my reaction would be much as your reaction is, what's the point really at this stage? Who would be the head coach? Pat Shurmur? Mike Munchak?
Right.
You know, Mike Munchak's a terrific offensive line coach. He was not a terrific head coach. Pat Shurmur is less than terrific as a coordinator and much, much less than terrific as a head coach. But what I'm saying, I guess when I see fans streaming out of the place, and I know the Broncos are very proud of their sellout streak that dates back to 1970, their first year in the National Football League. But as our friend Jeff Legwold noted today on ESPN.com, the sight of fans streaming toward the exits before the third quarter was over is a stark reminder of the boiling frustration. And it's also a reminder that most of the smart fans I talk to on a regular basis weren't doing handstands and cartwheels over the 3-0 start. And now the worst case scenario has come about. A 3-game losing streak that looks for all the world, no matter how many injuries the Browns have, like it will be a 4-game losing streak 3 days from now.
Well, and I think your biggest concern is apathy from fans, right? They're leaving in the third quarter.
They're leaving. Right.
Doesn't happen. They're not even mad at this point. They're just like, ugh, frustrated, disgusted, whatever, you know? The worst thing you can have is an apathetic fan base. And for guys to not even have faith to stick around for the fourth quarter to see what happens. I mean, I don't know when they've left in the third quarter. That was quite a sight to see that they were an early in the third quarter that they had given up on this team and their chances. I thought that was pretty incredible in not a great way. And so when you go back to saying making a change, again, I don't think they make a change at head coach, but maybe a change at offensive coordinator, at play caller, something like that to galvanize the team, the fans, everyone, is something that I think should be seriously considered over that mini bye week, if you will, because to continue like this, you know, I wonder how many no-shows they're going to have on Halloween if this continues, and then late in November if this continues.
Oh, but the Washington football team's coming in. That'll be a crowd pleaser.
A bunch of Taylor Heineke fans showing up.
That's right.
Yes, Romy Bean. Make sure you catch her over at CBS Denver and on Twitter, Romy_Bean. May we live in interesting times, huh, Romy? Yeah. Thanks for letting us have some of yours. Appreciate it.
Hey, guys. Thanks, as always, for having me on.